The G20 summit begins today in Seoul, South Korea. And here at The Takeaway, we want to make sure that you have all the information that you need to be able to understand what's happening at the G20. Here's a comment that President Obama made. This is actually while he was still in Indonesia before he headed to South Korea.
You're seeing some countries run up very big surpluses and intervening significantly in the currency markets to maintain their advantage when it comes to their currency.
Translation, China, bad. Joining us now from Shanghai, China, is Xiaojiao Yi. He's a pricing supervisor at Anheuser-Busch. Good morning.
Good morning.
I wonder how much of this currency talk goes on in China where you're doing business in Shanghai. Do you have these same discussions about the manipulation of currency?
Well, it's a hot topic. Currently, many people talk about it. But I think the way most Chinese businessmen look at it is different from Obama just said. I give you one example. I have a colleague called AJ. He's from he used to work in St. Louis. Now he works in Shanghai. He said when he first arrived in Shanghai, the currency is 1 versus 8. You get $1, you convert to 8 RMB. And the last week he went to the bank, it's 1 versus 6.8. So indeed, you can see that RMB is appreciating. I think that Obama administration wants RMB to appreciate very quickly, right? In a short time, you appreciate by 20 to 40%. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, as we go into the G20 summit, a lot of the focus is going to be on your nation. Do you think that, China is being unfairly painted as a negative influence on the global markets right now?
Well, I don't think so. There are different angles to look at the issue. I think that currently you look at all the economies. China's economy is going very strong. I think the estimate is coming last week that this year China economy is going 10% again. If RMB appreciation too quickly, it's going to hurt the international trade for sure. Then China economy stop growing. I think the global would hurt very badly.
Okay, that is Xiaojiao Yi. He works for Anheuser-Busch as a pricing supervisor. Thank you so much for joining this morning. We also have with us Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times, and explainer extraordinaire, right? So we're going to hear some relatively complicated discussions about currency. And I'm hoping that you can kind of give us a basic primer on what this all means. You just heard what he had to say about the Chinese perspective, that they simply can't let their currency appreciate too much. That sounds to me like the same argument the United States is making, that you know, we have to take something slowly. And he's saying if our Chinese economy is strong, that's good for the global economy.
You know, it's kind of like the U.S. and China are the yin and the yang. You know, they're very reliant on each other here, and it'll affect both of us, whatever happens. But what's going on is really simple. It's kind of a rethink of the United States' position in the global economy. So if I take you back in time a little to after World War II, you know, take yourself to New Hampshire. You've heard of Bretton Woods. That's where all the allies came out of that and said to the U.S., we want the dollar to be the international reserve currency. It represented the status as the American economy as the driver. And at first it was tied to gold, and eventually it was taken away from gold. But what we see now is over time, over all these decades, there has been such demand for the dollar because it's the reserve currency. What that means is countries like China and Russia and countries all over the world keep their savings, keep their central bank reserves in dollars. So a lot of our U.S. dollars are sitting in their coffers. But what that has meant over time is they have such a demand for dollars is it's meant we have had to run a trade deficit. We have had to buy more stuff than we're exporting. And economists have been warning for like 30 or 40 years that eventually this would get so out of line, it might cause a crisis. We had the financial crisis, and now it's not just China, it's Russia, it's France, it's Greece. A lot of global thinkers are saying, wait a minute, this international reserve currency being one currency, being the U.S., may not be the best thing for the global economy.
I mean, there's one example that really illustrates this. Oil is traded in dollars. It's a huge component of our trade deficit. Because oil is traded in dollars, we lose out when the dollar rises. Or when the dollar declines, inflation goes up for fuel. We talked about that earlier in the week. Just the fact that the oil is traded in dollars is a huge disadvantage for the U.S.
Right, except that, you know, right when the dollar goes up, there can be bad effects. However, everything trading in dollars does mean we get an advantage in buying it over other countries.
It's true.
So, you know.
It's interesting what you're saying, though, because we've talked quite a bit about how devastating this could be to the U.S. should the dollar no longer be the reserve currency. But you're saying there would actually be benefits to the country should they change. I mean, that would be a monumental change. But if they change anything of that kind, that could benefit us?
Well, there are a lot of economists that think a basket of currencies being the reserve currency would be much better for the world because it wouldn't mean that you had this. Right now, we have a conflict of interest in the U.S. You have, at the same time that U.S. central bankers have to think about the short-term U.S. economy, there's also this international monetary obligation that you've got to think about over the long term. And it is a problem. And the reason this battle, this currency war, you're going to see playing out in the G20, it's been playing out all year. I think we'll see it for years to come. The reason it's so fierce is because when the U.S. does things like buy up these treasuries, they're going to weaken the dollar. Well, China is sitting on all these U.S. dollars. They have, you know, most of their reserve currency is in dollars. So when you weaken the dollar, you hurt them. And so we've just set it up here where we can't have a win-win for everyone. It's always a win-lose when you have one currency it's tied to. If you had a basket, it may not be such a win-lose between countries.
What would be in the basket? What currencies would be in the basket?
Well, they're talking about the euro,
obviously,
Japan, the dollar. No one really is talking about the Chinese currency right now. But right now, the IMF actually went a little unnoticed, but last spring, Russia brought this topic up at the G20 meeting last spring. And the IMF, which was also created back at Bretton Woods, they developed this initial basket currency that they issued to some countries. So it's already slowly starting
as a suggestion.
And so it's being talked about. It may not come out of this meeting, but this is the thing that central bankers everywhere are thinking about in terms of rewriting the way the world economy works.
A tisket, a tasket,
a
global currency
basket.
Yes,
well, thank you. Clear as always, Louise Story clearing up the cobwebs for us in currency arguments. Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. We also spoke with Xiaojiao Yi. He's a pricing supervisor at Anheuser-Busch, giving us the Chinese perspective on the currency wars. Thanks so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.